Is there something wrong?
Warning. Life support failure on all decks. Abandon ship.
Maybe it is time to take command.
Bridge to captain.
Join Jan Shaw, updating current events as only Jan can.
Library computer, data being received.
Produced by CosmicReality.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's Cosmic Creating Show. My name is Jan Shaw, the Success Alchemist. You can find me at thesuccessalchemist.net, on Facebook and YouTube, Jan Shaw, the Success Alchemist, and on Twitter, or X as it's now called, at Coach Jan Shaw. Today is the 20th of April, 2024, and the title of today's show is Iran Attacks Israel, COVID-19 kill shot and January 6 narratives falling apart. And before I start, I just want to say that I don't have a soundproof studio to record this in, and I am the proud owner of a 17-week-old puppy, a Labrador puppy, who may make some noise in the background, so I apologise in advance. And I also want to say, following on to my announcement last week, that my manifestation assessment is now live. And so if you're interested in finding out what may be blocking your ability to manifest everything that you want, then please consider taking the assessment, because it really gives you a snapshot of where you are now and where you are in terms of being, doing, and having everything that you want and desire. So you can find that at thesuccessalchemist.net under the menu option Work With Me, and it's called Breakthrough Discovery Session. So please take a look at that. So on to today's news. I'm going to start with Ben Fulford's report. And his, of course, was put out on Monday. And we've seen a few interesting things come along this week in relation to some of the things that he talks about. He starts off his report, Iran Attacks Israel, brought to you by Coca-Cola, Vanguard and BlackRock. The corporate theatre of the absurd that passes off as news in the West reached a new low with the so-called Iranian attack on Israel that was 99% stopped by Israel. The Israeli cabinet then issued a photograph and video with bottles of Coca-Cola prominently displayed. Coca-Cola is owned by Vanguard, BlackRock, and the usual suspects, so you know who is sponsoring this Iranian attack. Of course, the Israeli government had to obey the orders of their corporate sponsors with product placement. This theatre, though, hides a very real war that is now raging between two alternative timelines for the planet Earth. This war is heading for a climactic battle in May. That is when the Khazarian mafia will be trying to use their privately owned WHO to impose totalitarian rule over humanity via their pandemic treaty. The KM are planning to release bioweapons to create a pandemic just in time for the discussion. This is probably why people reported chemtrails being sprayed all over the US before the April 8th eclipse, and incidentally, they're all over the UK as well. The emergency they create will then be used to justify forced vaccinations, forced internment in concentration camps, total censorship, etc. The KM, headed by David Reaney de Rothschild, Klaus Schwab Rothschild, etc., say they are not going to give up control of the financial system. Instead, they propose to use cryptocurrencies to continue their unelected rule. Under their plan, everyone will be given a basic income that will be tied to their social credit score. If you obediently take all their vaccines, etc., you will be allowed to eat insect protein, yuck, travel outside your zone and get other benefits. Those who are disobedient, that's us, will have their income restricted or cut off and have their travel restricted, etc. real dissidents will be systematically killed off. The KM offered the head of MI6 a $48 billion bribe payable in Bitcoin to support their plan. He declined the bribe and instead opted to support the White Hat plan. The alternative proposal put forth by White Hats and their Asian allies can be seen in the document they are about to sign. In reflection of the original creation, the White Dragon Foundation hereby authorizes the issuance of $100 trillion. This money will be backed by gold in possession of the Santa Romana clan. Upon issuance, $50 trillion will be sent to the bank account designated by the Santa Romana clan to finance their humanitarian projects. The other $50 trillion will be used by the White Dragon Foundation to set up a future planning organization. As per agreement between East and West, the purpose of this organization will be to increase the amount and variety of life, including human life. Signed, representative of the White Dragon Foundation, representative of the Santa Romana clan. The Santa Romana clan sent us images showing some of the gold in their possession and said they were willing to provide all necessary proof the $100 trillion worth of gold is real and in their possession. They plan to use their $50 trillion share for humanitarian projects of their choosing and design. The Western White Hats will use their share as described in the document. Under this plan, the future planning organization will be set up under the light of full public scrutiny. It will hire the most intelligent people on Earth. It will ask everybody what sort of future they want for the planet, and then figure out the best way to make that future come true. There are some clear things everybody agrees on. For example, disease, poverty, and environmental destruction must be ended. Then a massive effort will be made to end death, the number one enemy of life. To summarize, the KM timeline calls for the planet to be turned into a giant animal farm, controlled by them. The other calls for the people to decide what future they want and for their public servants to turn that into reality. Serious turmoil is expected between now and May as the two sides duke it out. The Israeli theatre now appearing on your screens is ultimately sponsored by the Black Sun organisation as well as the KM families. P3 Freemason Honcho Vincenzo Mazzara says the Black Sun, quote, will keep carrying out mayhem and destruction until a world federation government is established, end quote. According to them, while the theatre in Israel is mostly fake, there is real warfare going on. As an example, they sent us this image of the illegal US Green Zone in Iraq being totally destroyed. In addition, the Special Naval Forces of the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps, IRGC, have seized Israel-linked MSC Ares container ship near the Strait of Hormuz, official news agency IRNA reports. Let's see if it's child slaves they find in the containers. Incidentally, this attack by Iran on Israel was really weird because Iran warned Israel, I think it was 72 hours in advance, and I read somewhere that the Pentagon leaked this plan to attack Israel. And Iran is saying, you know, they just want to make a gesture in response to Israel's attack on Iranian soil. They don't want to start a major conflagration, as it were. So it seems rather orchestrated, this, and I wonder whether the White Hats are actually in charge of all of it, and it's optics again. Anyway, to continue, things could rapidly escalate. US Space Force officials warn that Israel is planning to attack Iran with an earthquake weapon within the next 24 to 48 hours. If this happens, Iran is likely to retaliate using the neutron bomb-tipped missiles given to them by George Bush Sr. Well, of course, that didn't happen because we're more than 48 hours on from here. This is why visible de-escalation measures are being seen in the Middle East. Nobody wants this to escalate into all-out thermonuclear war and the destruction of the planet, except for the KM, of course. The Russians are also planning very big moves. Russian FSB sources say their operatives are targeting the Rothschild, stroke Rockefeller, etc. families. The Russian Investigative Committee says their criminal inquiry into the recent terrorist attack in Moscow has established the funds were received through commercial organizations such as the oil and gas company Burisma Holdings operating in Ukraine. Burisma, as is well known, is linked to Hunter Biden, who is a front for the Rockefeller-Rothschild KM nexus. This is how it will go down in history. An inhuman and misanthropic regime of terrorists and Nazis who betrayed the interests of their people and sacrificed them for Western money and handouts for Zelensky and his inner circle, says Russian Permanent Representative Ambassador to the United Nations, Vasily Nebenzia. In a recent example of inhumanity, official test results show a mass die-off of birds was caused by feeding on Ukrainian grain that had been deliberately poisoned, according to Polish intelligence. The Ukraine issue is just part of a much larger investigation by the Russian FSB of the KM. They have uncovered the hidden history of the operation to destroy the Soviet Union, and the trail leads directly to Glencore Commodities. This is the Rothschild front that also now controls the Vatican Bank, the Bank of Japan, etc. It turns out the Rothschilds, through their frontman Mark Rich, set up trading houses in Switzerland that bought Soviet oil, aluminium, zinc, chromium, steel, etc. for only 5-10% of its market value, then sold the commodity through its Swiss trading house at market value and pocketed the difference. Over time, this program evolved into operating businesses for off-budget revenues, and from there into avenues for squirreling away funds for the safe retirement or political comeback of embattled communist leaders. Lines of business came to include money laundering, arms and drug trafficking, and other plainly criminal activities. Before long, intelligence, business, politics, and crime blurred indistinguishably into each other. After this scheme bankrupted the Soviet Union in 1991, the looting intensified. Lloyd's of London estimates somewhere from $200 to $500 billion was looted from Russia between 1993 and 1998. A key player in this scheme was the original Vladimir Putin. He was head of Russia's Presidential Property Management Department from July 1996 to March 1997. There he was responsible for both the former Soviet Union's property and the Communist Party's property worth hundreds of billions of dollars. Putin created schemes involving joint ventures, LLCs and JSCs as front companies in order to claim large stakes in the transfer of state property to other persons and entities. For example, in East Germany, he fraudulently leased the huge cultural centre of Russia in Berlin to a company for almost nothing, but the company then leased the building for a very large amount. Putin pocketed the money that the company received from the expensive lease. A lot of this operation was run through Banco del Gotardo, a Swiss-based successor to the notorious Banco Ambrosiano of Roberto Calvi. In other words, it was a Vatican Bank front. Most of the looted money found its way to London, the FSB sources say. Russia's chief prosecutor, Yuri Skuratov, uncovered this scheme in February 1999. Putin retaliated with a smear campaign that included releasing a video where Skuratov allegedly has sex with two prostitutes. This is why Putin was killed and replaced with avatars loyal to the Russian Orthodox Church. They took over his operations and stopped the looting of Russia. So now we know why so many fabulously wealthy Russian oligarchs appeared after the fall of the Soviet Union. We also know why the KM hate Russia for cutting off this huge wealth-stealing scam. The details can be found in the very detailed Wikipedia article. And the link to that article is en.m.wikipedia.org/wiki/FIMACO. Here is more corroborating evidence. A current CIA stroke former FBI agent describes seizing a Russian oligarch's yacht because we could. No need for it. We just did it. It was there. We seize all kinds of other countries, people we don't like. We seize all kinds of shit because everything's based on the US dollar. Russian FSB sources say they are working methodically to uncover the entire Rothschild/Rockefeller criminal network and will aim to get justice, including having the stolen funds returned and the criminals responsible prosecuted. This is only one of the dragnets closing in on the Rothschilds, the Agnellis, the Rockefellers, and other KM families. The one they fear the most is the multiple investigations into their COVID and vaccine mass murder campaign. German lawyer Rainer Fulmich, who is being held in prison on false charges, issued the following statement about this. German journalist Paul Schreier won a huge victory in court under the German version of the Freedom of Information Act. His court victory forced the German equivalent of the CDC to make secret documents available, which proved that the so-called pandemic was in reality a plandemic. In light of the fact that the same thing happened simultaneously all over the world, it is very likely that, I mean it was a lockstep thing, that this victory will have massive implications and ramifications worldwide. This very, very important piece of news, this victory, did not get stuck in the alternative media alone. Rather, it was impossible for the mainstream media to ignore it, because now many people, many of them personally affected by the so-called measures, want to know the truth about Corona, and there will be more that they want to know. And now there will be an official investigation here in Germany. Well, that is exactly what I did for 3 years. In the US, Senator Rand Paul is leading a congressional investigation into the pandemic. A CIA white hat medical doctor comments as follows. Rand Paul knows where the COVID trail leads. He has already honed in on the CIA. However, a congressional investigation is not going to get the job done. These are international crimes against humanity. Accountability for COVID is going to require a Nuremberg type of reckoning. It's going to require a coalition between the world's superpowers. We are not the only ones who have a claim on the heads of those responsible for COVID. Americans are not the only ones who suffered and died. The White Hat International Military Tribunal would be the appropriate entity to prosecute such crimes. But the UN isn't exactly working either. This is an unprecedented situation that requires unprecedented solutions. The Japanese are also on the warpath about COVID. On this front, Professor Masayasu Inu held a press conference in Geneva, Switzerland, where he threw major truth bombs at the WHO and the entire pharmaceutical industry. That's more accurate. Inu says the COVID pandemic was a man-made hoax designed to drive vaccinations into the bodies of billions of people worldwide. The false pandemic was orchestrated by the WHO, along with other globalist organizations and global governments. The resulting global vaccination agenda was a fraudulent use of experimental gene therapy that was pushed onto healthy people. He also warned that Japan's first mRNA vaccine manufacturing plant opened in February 2023 and others are in the works. There is a high risk that Japan-made vaccines will be exported under the guise of false trust, he says. The Japanese population suffered over 400,000 excess deaths immediately after the first vaccinations were pushed on the public, according to Japanese Health and Welfare Ministry data. This has prompted massive anti-pandemic treaty demonstrations in Japan that the corporate media is ignoring. The Japanese military are also now fighting back. The KM invited Japanese slave Prime Minister Fumio Kishida to Washington, D.C. last week, with the plan to put the Japanese military under the control of a U.S. general. They issued this statement: "The United States reaffirms its determination to protect Japan, including with the use of nuclear weapons." Translation: they use nuclear blackmail against Japan to try to force it to submit its military to KM and control and to hand over more money. Our Japanese military sources confirm the KM used earthquake and nuclear weapon threats against Japan. The Japanese responded by saying the next time they were attacked in this manner, they would use their own weapons on the Atlantic island of La Palma to cause a 100-meter tsunami to hit the east coast of the US and the south coast of England. As a result of this stance, the Japanese military remains independent and a new emperor is now in de facto command in Japan. This new group has informed the US military they will work with the White Hats to nationalize the Bank of Japan and fight the KM. The Japanese are also working with Asian secret societies to resurrect the Greater East Asia Co-Prosperity Sphere they fought to create during World War II. An Asian royal source tells us that all eyes are on Israel now, but something very big is happening in China now, with no media coverage allowed. Other sources tell us communist rule is ending in China. The KM, meanwhile, are still pushing ahead with their dystopian plans. In a video, Klaus Schwab Rothschild makes veiled threats to create multiple black swan events. In what may be overdue justice, preliminary reports indicate Schwab may have been rushed to hospital for an undisclosed emergency. We shall see. And there was a lot of cheering on X in response to those reports. I think all of us want to see the end of Klaus Schwab. In the meantime, his flunkies keep following orders to carry out his evil plans. In the UK, they plan to ban beef and lamb and close all airports by 2029 as part of their climate change scam. They want to confine you and control your food supply. Meanwhile, the Polish government under KM agent Donald Tusk has unveiled a censorship law that calls for punishment of 3 years in prison for truths that are inconvenient for gender ideologists and LGBT activists. Under this law, people will be sent to jail for saying such things as, "There are two genders, gender is a biological fact, not a matter of choice, gender is written in the genes and cannot be changed, transsexualism is a gender identity disorder, cutting off the breasts and genitals of teenagers is an irreversible mutilation of their bodies. Homosexual acts are sinful. Men who identify as women should not compete in women's sports." At exactly the same time, another KM slave, Justin Castrudeau, is passing a similar law that calls for criminal liability and a $25,000 fine for offensive statements against the LGBTQ community and protests against their promotion. Don't worry, though, it will still be legal to criticise heterosexual Christians, white people, etc. Castrudeau also talked about how the new social credit score-based social engineering will make life more expensive for those who don't sign up for his WEF/KM vision of the future. These are just some of the idiots they parade before the cameras as if they were leaders. For example, it looks like they just wheeled out yet another Defence Secretary, Lloyd Austin avatar, to say no evidence of genocide in Gaza. They are also still using Nancy Pelosi, the eighth so far as we can tell. A video indicates these avatars are used in part for money laundering. Greg Reese from the Reese Report shows nobody in the current so-called federal government took oaths of office. This means they are all traitors. Here is an example of what the KM has turned the US Congress into. A Democrat from Texas, born in New York, Representative Sheila Jackson Lee, tells students the moon is a planet made up mostly of gases. Representative Sheila Jackson Lee, Democrat, Texas, stunned attendees at a high school solar eclipse event Monday by claiming the rock-solid moon is a planet that is made up mostly of gases, before adding she still wants to be first in line to learn how to live there. Another KM puppet, the UK's Rishi Sunak, apparently is so ignorant he does not even know how to use a hammer. Let's not forget the top dodo Joe Biden. In the video below, Donald Trump speaks on Biden's incompetence, his senility, and that we're on the verge of being dragged into a world war. A fake Trump, meanwhile, is still being trotted out to appear in fake court case dramas, etc. However, even the corporate media is starting to ask questions, as this report about Melania Trump indicates. Melania Trump is keeping observers guessing whether she will appear, however warily, on the campaign trail alongside her husband. Aloof and enigmatic, the Slovenian-born former model has been noticeably absent as husband Donald Trump makes his third bid for the White House. Nor has she attended any court hearings with her husband as he navigates a myriad of cases. There is also new evidence that some of the people they are trotting out may actually be clones. Take a look at pictures of Mark Zuckerberg, founder of Facebook, and David Scott Portnoy, American businessman and social media personality, founder and owner of Barstool Sports, a sports and culture company, and former White House spokesperson Jen Psaki. Are they clones? Well, I must say Zuckerberg has been definitely looking like a clone for a long time. Not sure about the other two. If so, who is creating them and why? Soon it may be possible for their puppet masters to be exposed without fear of repercussions. A case in point is Alex Jones of InfoWars. CIA contractor admits CIA targeted Alex Jones. FBI had agents at January 6th. A sound investigation sting has recorded footage of a CIA contracting officer and former FBI worker appearing to admit to a string of questionable activities, including pressuring the families of the victims of Sandy Hook to sue Alex Jones and having agents present at the January 6th Capitol incident. Alex Jones is now on the counteroffensive, saying, "I'm planning on launching a lawsuit against the CIA and FBI. I've retained firms to sue for civil rights violations, government racketeering operation." The KM seemed to be taking the collapse of their control grid as if it was the end of the world, or at least the Israelis seemed to think so. The Israeli government plans to slaughter and sacrifice red heifers on April 22, 2024. The beginning of Passover, according to Mossad sources. The red heifer sacrifice involves the sacrifice of a red heifer that must be without blemish and entirely red without a single non-red hair. The ashes of this sacrifice are then used in a purification ritual essential for individuals seeking to access sacred spaces or engage in certain religious practices. This in preparation for building the third temple, sources say. Finally, in a sign we really are facing unprecedented events, something massive left Antarctica during the solar eclipse and was caught on radar. What seems like a blob moving from Antarctica all the way into the Atlantic Ocean over the next few days? What is this mass? A weather system or something else? A Pentagon official asks. Japanese military sources confirm it is not just a digital anomaly and that ocean buoys have recorded massive 80-foot waves in the region of the blob. US Space Force sources confirm a massive blast of energy came out of Antarctica. They are investigating what the blast was and what its purpose was. We could only speculate, but it may be related to an attack on the Nazi Antarctic base. We are definitely entering uncharted waters. So that's the end of Ben Fulford's globally focused report. And I want to follow on from what he was talking about with COVID-19, starting with the UK, where Andrew Bridgen led a debate on excess deaths in the House of Commons. And unfortunately, or shamefully, only 14 MPs showed up for it, which is absolutely despicable. And it just shows how little concern politicians have for the people who elected them and who are paying them. And this is a report from Lioness of Judah Substack, and it was published yesterday. And the title is Andrew Bridgen Calls on UK Government to Immediately Suspend All mRNA Treatments in Both Humans and Animals. Mr. Bridgen put forward a motion in Parliament for the COVID inquiry to open its Module 4 on the safety and efficacy of the experimental COVID-19 injections as soon as possible. Incidentally, the COVID inquiry, which is a complete sham, because all they had were people that were backing up the regime's COVID-19 response with the lockdowns and everything else. They delayed the vaccine investigation until after the general election, which could be as late as May next year. That, I think, is the latest date that it can be held. Given the evidence, I call on the government once again to immediately suspend the use of all mRNA treatments in both humans and animals, pending the outcome of the COVID inquiry's investigation into COVID vaccines and therapeutics. Andrew Bridgen, Member of Parliament for North West Leicestershire, said during a debate in Parliament yesterday. Mr. Bridgen put forward a motion in Parliament for the COVID inquiry to open its Module 4 on the safety and efficacy of the experimental COVID-19 injections as soon as possible. On 12th of January, the UK COVID inquiry announced that public hearings for the inquiry's fourth investigation into vaccines and therapeutics, Module 4, was being rescheduled. The hearings were originally scheduled to take place in the summer of 2024. They will now take place at a later date, the inquiry's website states. 3 days later, Mr. Bridgen mentioned the COVID inquiry's decision during a debate, saying he felt Module 4 had been delayed as political pressure had been placed on the inquiry due to upcoming general elections. Introducing the motion for the inquiry to open Module 4 yesterday, Mr. Bridgen began, "We are witnesses to the greatest medical scandal in this country in living memory, and possibly ever. The excess deaths in 2022 and 2023. Its causes are complex, but the novel and untested medical treatment described as a COVID vaccine is a large part of the problem. Officials are hiding key data in this scandal. The Office for National Statistics used to release weekly data on deaths per 100,000 in vaccinated and unvaccinated populations, but it no longer does so. The public have the right to that data," Mr. Bridgen said. Serious experts have called for record-level data to be anonymised and disclosed for analysis, which would settle whether experimental treatments are responsible for the increase in excess deaths. As Mr. Bridgen noted, more extensive and detailed data has already been released to pharmaceutical companies from publicly funded bodies. However, Professor Jenny Harris, head of the UK Health Security Agency, said that this anonymised aggregate death by vaccination status data is, quote, commercially sensitive, end quote, and should not be published. The public are being denied that data, which is unacceptable, he said. Mr. Bridgen also mentioned that Harris had endorsed a massive change to the calculation of the baseline population level used by the ONS to calculate excess deaths. Due to this change, some 20,000 premature deaths in 2023 alone are now being airbrushed away, he said. Mr. Bridgen spoke about the shocking things that happened during the COVID pandemic response, the misuse of do not resuscitate DNR orders, treatment protocols, and the basis on which deaths were attributed to COVID and to vaccines. In March 2020, the government conducted a consultation exercise on whether people over a certain age or with certain disabilities should have do not resuscitate orders, known as DNRs, imposed upon them. A document summarising the DNR proposals was circulated to doctors and hospitals. It was mistakenly treated as formal policy by a number of care homes and GPs up and down the country who enacted it. At the same time, multiple hospitals introduced a policy that they would not admit patients with DNRs because they thought that they would be overwhelmed. The result was that people died who did not need to die while nurses performed TikTok dances. The average time to death from experiencing COVID symptoms and testing positive was 18 days. It's a little known fact that the body clears all the viruses within around 7 days. What actually kills people is that some, especially the vulnerable, have an excessive immune response. Doctors have been treating that response for decades with steroids, antibiotics for secondary pneumonia infections, and other standard protocols, but they did not do so this time. Even though the virus was long gone, doctors abandoned the standard clinical protocols because COVID was a new virus, which it was not. They sent people home, told them to take paracetamol until their lips turned blue, and then when those people returned to hospital, they sedated them, put them on ventilators, and watched them die. The protocol for COVID-19 treatment was a binary choice between two treatment tracks. Once admitted, ill patients were either ventilated in intensive care or, if they were not fit for that level of care, given end-of-life medication, including midazolam and morphine. Giving midazolam and morphine to people dying of cancer is reasonable, but there is a side effect, which is that those drugs have a respiratory depressant effect. It is hard to imagine a more stupid thing to do than giving a respiratory suppressant to someone who is already struggling to breathe with the symptoms of COVID-19. But that is exactly what we did. There is a huge stark contrast in how deaths and illnesses after vaccination have been recorded compared with those after COVID. After a positive COVID test, any illness and any death was attributed to the virus. After the experimental emergency vaccine was administered, no subsequent illness and no death was ever attributed to the vaccine. Those are both completely unscientific approaches, and that is why we have to look at other sources of data, excess deaths, to determine whether there is an issue. He also addressed the use of the mantra safe and effective. The fear deliberately stoked up by the government promoted the idea of being rescued by a saviour vaccine. The chanting of the safe and effective narrative began and the phrase seemed to hypnotise the whole nation, he said. This was despite Pfizer, for example, admitting that it was unknown whether their vaccines were safe or effective. In March 2021, Pfizer signed a contract with Brazil and South Africa, which said the long-term effects and efficacy of the vaccine are not currently known and adverse events of the vaccine are not currently known. Mr. Bridgen told the House of Commons that the media, the government and other authorities had turned into Big Pharma's marketing department, even though Pfizer's dubious marketing practices have been noted by the Association of the British Pharmaceutical Industry, ABPI, the UK Trade Association for Medicines prescribed for the NHS. Only a few days ago, the ABPI rapped Pfizer on the knuckles for the sixth time and said that its marketing practices had brought the industry into disrepute. It was asked to pay a paltry £30,000 in administrative expenses with no fine on top, he said. The person heading the ABPI at the moment is also the head of Pfizer UK. The Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency has a statutory duty to carry out this work, and it has handed its responsibility to the industry. This is an outrageous conflict of interest, he added. Turning to the harm that the injections cause, Mr. Bridgen explained that this was built into their design. The so-called COVID vaccines use the most pathological or harmful part of the virus, the spike protein, in its entirety. The harm is systemic because, contrary to what everyone was told, the lipid nanoparticles encapsulating the genetic material spread throughout the whole body after injection, potentially affecting all organs, he said. Furthermore, it is now plentifully evident that the drug results in continued spike protein production for many months, even years in some people. The deaths thus far have been predominantly cardiac, he said, but there may unfortunately be many more as the vaccines, in inverted commas, may induce extra cancer deaths due to immune system damage and DNA damage. For immune system damage, Mr. Bridgen highlighted a recently published paper by Dr. Robert Tindall, retired director of the Clinical Medical Virology Centre in Brisbane. The paper describes multiple potential harms from vaccines, including harm to the immune system, which could increase the risk of cancer. Regarding DNA damage, Mr. Bridgen explained that mRNA products risk interrupting our DNA. Cancer is a genetic disease disorder that arises from errors in DNA, allowing cells to grow uncontrollably. Moderna has multiple patents describing methods for reducing the risk of cancer induction from its mRNA products. That risk comes from the material interrupting the patient's DNA. It turns out that an mRNA injection has very high quantities of DNA in it, and that massively increases the risk of disturbing a patient's own DNA, he said. Worse still, the DNA that was injected contained sequences that were hidden from the regulator. That is the SV40 or simian virus 40 promoter region, which has been linked to cancer and has been found in the Pfizer vaccines. That was no accident, he added. He also noted an independent study in Japan published last week that found links between increased cancer rates in Japan and those who took the first and subsequent booster vaccines. Perhaps that explains why Pfizer acquired a cancer treatment company for a reported $43 billion earlier this year, he said. In concluding his speech, Mr. Bridgen said the evidence is clear. These vaccines have caused deaths. At some point, we will have to face up to all the evidence that is building. It was fairly convincing 18 months ago when I first spoke out, but it is unequivocal now. Given the evidence, I call on the government once again to immediately suspend the use of all mRNA treatments in both humans and animals, pending the outcome of Baroness Hallett's Module 4 inquiry. To which members of the public attending the debate loudly cheered and applauded, so much so that the Deputy Speaker warned the gallery would have to be cleared if the clapping continued. Can you believe it? I mean, it's like people aren't allowed to express anything. They're supposed to be ruled over, not be represented. Anyway, at the end of the debate, Mr. Bridgen's motion was agreed and the House called on the COVID inquiry to move on to its Module 4 investigation into vaccines and therapeutics as soon as possible. The debate lasted 2.5 hours, and one of the Labour MPs had the audacity, after everything that Andrew Bridgen had shared, to still say that the vaccines were safe and effective. I mean, you just can't make this stuff up. They are despicable, absolutely despicable. And just a quick mention of a couple of other headlines. Vigilant Fox News reports Malaysian doctor apologises for pushing COVID death shots. Professor Angus Dalgleish, massive cancer death study vindicates my warnings over COVID boosters. And of course, we've already had that report by Ben Pulford, and it's reported by exposednews.com. Japanese study finds mRNA injections cause cancer. So there's so much evidence out there, and even more coming out, that this really is a bioweapon and absolutely must be withdrawn from use immediately. And yet they're still pushing boosters and claiming, as I said, that it's safe and effective. It's democide, basically. Moving on now to the January 6th narrative falling apart. This is a report from Epoch Times. Top military official lied about January 6th, according to whistleblowers. Army Secretary Ryan McCarthy was among senior officials who did not tell the truth about what happened on January 6, 2021, National Guard officials say. The Secretary of the Army on January 6, 2021, lied about multiple details regarding what unfolded as the US Capitol was breached, National Guard whistleblowers said during a congressional hearing on April 17th. Then Army Secretary Ryan McCarthy made multiple false claims, including that he spoke to the Commanding General of the District of Columbia National Guard on two separate occasions after officials requested that the Guard be deployed to the Capitol, the whistleblowers said. After Major General William Walker conveyed a request from the U.S. Capitol Police for Guard personnel, Mr. McCarthy called Major General Walker at 2:14 p.m., and instructed the Guard to stand by, according to a Guard timeline of January 6, 2021. But that call and others that Mr. McCarthy or one of his top advisers was said to have made later, authorizing the Guard for mobilization and deployment, did not happen, according to the Guard officials. At no time did General Walker take any calls, nor did we ever hear from the Secretary on any of the ongoing conference calls or the secure video teleconferencing throughout the day, Captain Timothy Nick, who served as Major General Walker's personal assistant on January 6, 2021, said during the hearing. This I know because I was with the Command General the entire time recording the events. Captain Nick has not previously discussed publicly what transpired on January 6, 2021, and neither has Brigadier General Aaron Dean, who was the National Guard's Adjutant General on the day that the Capitol was breached. The Department of Defense DOD Inspector General report on January 6, 2021, which relied heavily on Mr. McCarthy and other military officials, was rife with inaccuracies, Brigadier General Dean said. I believe it is my duty and moral obligation to stand before you today and illuminate the truth, he told the hearing, which was held by the House Administration Committee's Subcommittee on Oversight. Despite Mr. Walker conveying the request for assistance at about 1:50 p.m., the Guard was not deployed to the Capitol until about 5:10 p.m. This was a dereliction of duty by the Secretary of the Army, Representative Greg Murphy, Republican North Carolina, one of the members of the committee, said. Mr. McCarthy refused to appear before the panel, Dr. Murphy said. Christopher Miller, the acting Secretary of Defense at the time, authorized Guard deployment at 3:11 p.m., but Mr. McCarthy took the order and decided to draw up a plan before ordering the deployment, according to military timelines and testimony from Mr. McCarthy and others. You never would employ our personnel, whether it's on an American street or a foreign street, without putting together a plan, Mr. McCarthy told the now disbanded House January 6 committee. Mr. McCarthy could not be reached for comment. The Army declined to comment. We stand by our January 6 report and have no further comment at this time, a DOD Inspector General spokesperson told the Epoch Times via email. The whistleblowers also testified that Army officials Lieutenant General Walter Piatt and General Charles Flynn during a 2:30 p.m. conference call on January 6, 2021, expressed concern about the optics of having the guard at the Capitol. I did hear the word optics, and they did use it. Specifically, General Piat said optics, and his concern was that he did not want soldiers or airmen on Capitol grounds with the Capitol in the background, Brigadier General Dean said. They were giving every other reason why we should be around the Capitol, away from the Capitol, and not responding to the Capitol. The officials lacked familiarity with the Guard and the Guard's capabilities, Brigadier General Dean said. Lieutenant General Piat has been quoted by Major General Walker and others as saying during the call, "I don't like the visual of the National Guard standing aligned with the Capitol in the background. I would much rather relieve USCP, US Capitol Police officers, from other posts so they can handle the protesters." Lieutenant General Piat has told lawmakers that he did not recall using the words optics, visuals, or image during the call or in any other conversations on January 6, 2021. But he later said, "I may have said that," citing people who took notes during the call. General Flynn told the House Oversight Committee in 2021 that he, quote, "never expressed a concern about the visuals, image, or public perception of sending the DC National Guard to the US Capitol," end quote. Colonel Earl Matthews, a lawyer who was with Major General Walker on January 6, 2021, and who has challenged the Pentagon January 6 narrative, and District of Columbia National Guard Command Sergeant Michael Brooks, a senior officer with the Guard until he retired in 2022, also testified during the hearing in Washington. None of the Guard officials who testified were formally interviewed by the House January 6 committee, which was primarily run by Democrats and disbanded at the end of the previous Congress. The officials said the Guard was ready to act and could have made a difference if not for the delay. "I know if we were able to deploy immediately when General Walker made the request, the National Guard could have helped end civil disturbance and restore order quickly," Captain Nick said. So this is yet more fuel to the fire that what happened on January 6 was a Fedsurrection and orchestrated by the collusion between Pelosi and the FBI and the CIA and Pentagon and the Capitol Police, which is why the January 6 committee hearings were such a scam, because they only wanted to hear from witnesses who would back up the narrative that it was an insurrection which was instigated by President Trump, which, of course, is complete falsehood. The other thing that was happening this week was an oral argument in the Supreme Court relating to one of the charges against the January 6 protesters, who, of course, have been in prison for several years now without trial. And this was reported by The Federalist, and it was published the 17th. Oral argument in January 6 SCOTUS case lays bare DOJ's partisan lawfare. The Supreme Court heard oral argument Tuesday in a criminal appeal challenging the Biden administration's use of a catch-all provision in a federal statute focused on the destruction of evidence to charge hundreds of J6 defendants with a 20-year felony. Over the course of the hour-long argument, the government made clear its view that the federal statute at issue, 18 U.S.C. 1512 C2, had an expansive reach, other than when Antifa burns a courthouse, a member of Congress pulls a fire alarm, or mostly peaceful protesters delay court or congressional proceedings. Anyone paying the slightest attention to the Biden administration's prosecution of January 6 protesters and its slap-on-the-wrist coddling of other protesters knows there's a double standard in play. But the justices' questioning of the Biden administration during Tuesday's oral argument in Fisher v. United States forced the government to attempt to justify that disparate treatment. There have been many violent protests that have interfered with proceedings. Justice Thomas opened the questioning of Solicitor General Elizabeth Prelogar. Has the government applied this provision to other protests in the past? The justice queried. After sidestepping the question, Prelogar replied that she couldn't give an example of Section 1512(c)(2) being enforced in a situation where people have violently stormed a building in order to prevent an official proceeding, because nothing like January 6, 2021 had ever happened before. Justice Gorsuch then posed several more hypotheticals. Would a sit-in that disrupts a trial or access to a federal courthouse qualify? Would a heckler in today's audience qualify, or at the State of the Union address? Would pulling a fire alarm before a vote qualify for 20 years in federal prison? Prelogar responded in the negative, saying none of those events would likely qualify because in the Biden administration's view, Section 1512(c)(2) does not reach conduct that has only a minimal effect on official proceedings. The text of Section 1512(c), however, does not exempt de minimis interference with official proceedings. So why would the Biden administration seek to exempt protests or other disturbances that have only a minimal effect on official proceedings from the scope of Section 1512(c)? Simply put, because the Department of Justice has never used Section 1512(c) in the way it is being used against the J6 protesters. In charging Fisher, the defendant in the case, as well as hundreds of other individuals involved in the Capitol demonstration on January 6, 2021, the DOJ relies on subsection 2, maintaining that subsection in effect criminalizes the obstruction, influence, or impeding of an official proceeding, no matter the conduct at issue. That reading of Section 1512(c)(2) conflicts with the DOJ's historical interpretation of subsection 2, which limited prosecutions to situations where the defendant had interfered with evidence that would be used in an official proceeding. To explain away the lack of prior prosecutions of protesters under Section 1512(c)(2), the Biden administration needed to make the statute about only non-minimal interferences. Judging by the questions and responses from the bench, a majority of the justices remained unconvinced, as they should be. Far from establishing that the DOJ enforces Section 1512(c)(2) uniformly, the Solicitor General's argument painted a picture of the Biden administration enlarging or contracting the statutory language to serve political purposes. From today's argument, it appears unlikely a majority of the court will acquiesce in the Biden administration's reading of Section 1512(c)(2) as creating an independent obstruction of official proceedings felony. Rather, the questioning from the majority of the justices suggests the Supreme Court will hold that subsection 2 only criminalizes conduct that impairs evidence for use in an official proceeding, which is the better reading of the statute. So just to conclude, what we're seeing is these two key narratives falling apart. The COVID-19 safe and effective vaccine, ridiculous narrative, and also the January 6 insurrection narrative. And it's so obvious from this law case that the whole thing is politically motivated, which of course we've known from the very start of this fiasco. So that's all I have time for this week. I hope you've enjoyed the show and you'll join me for another Cosmic Creating show next Saturday, or if you listen to the recording, whenever that might be. I'd like to thank Nancy for producing and Derek Condit for sponsoring Cosmic Reality Radio. You can find him at mysticalwares.com. And a quick reminder that you can find me at thesuccessalchemist.net. And so until next time, stay well, be safe, and bye for now.
You have been listening to Cosmic Creating with Jan Shaw, updating current reality, a production of CosmicReality.com.